Good morning. It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The Men's Detention Center was built in East Baltimore before the Civil War. Now it's part of a cluster of more than a dozen public safety buildings run by the state. Yesterday, Governor Hogan called it dilapidated, dangerous, a place of corruption, and said he is closing it at once. He said the individuals currently housed in the Men's Detention Center would immediately be moved to other facilities in Baltimore City or nearby. He said there's plenty of capacity to do that. Between 700 and 800 men awaiting trial will be moved. The governor said none of the 772 employees who work in the facility would lose their jobs. His announcement left unanswered many questions, including where the men would be moved to. And with us to discuss some of the issues the closure puts in focus is Deborah Gardner, legal director of the nonprofit Public Justice Center. She's been working with the ACLU's National Prison Project on litigation challenging conditions in the jail. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Natalie Finnegar is here with us. She's Deputy District Public Defender. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And joining us by phone is Senator Kathy Pugh, a Baltimore Democrat who is Majority Leader of the Senate and co-chair of the Legislators Workgroup on Public Safety. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Thank you.
Now, Senator Pugh, I gather you were briefed about the detention center closure a few hours before Governor Hogan announced it. What is your understanding of where the men will be moved?
Well, we haven't been given any specifics other than that they will be moved in and around Baltimore. I think we all know that the detention center has been in deplorable conditions for some time now. I think you'll hear from the ACLU about some of those conditions. I toured the facility about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I said everyone should walk through there so that they can understand how deplorable the conditions are, and even where the young folks who are in the system are sleeping on cement slabs with little mattresses laying on them. And in fact, I spoke to the secretary who took us on that tour and said that, you know, we needed to bring together a group to talk about how do we move forward with these kinds of conditions. We walked through a door, and one of the delegates pointed out that door had been broke for over 10 years. So there's a lot of issues there, and it's probably a step in the right direction, but there are a lot of questions that need to be answered.
Deborah Gardner, you've had major issues with the detention center for years. What have you observed there?
Well, in the men's detention center, as well as other parts of the facility, there is a tremendous amount of vermin infestation. Elevators that are constantly broken, can't be maintained, can't be repaired. The ventilation system is absolutely horrific. There is no air conditioning in the men's detention center, and even in the women's detention center that theoretically has a working ventilation system, it was poorly designed and inadequately maintained. So in both parts of the facility, at this time of year, the heat index inside in the living quarters can be in the high 90s. It's inhumane. But the men's detention center is the very oldest part of the facility, is essentially a Civil War dungeon. It's certainly a very positive step that it's closing.
This is a positive step. Natalie Finnegar, I think you agree that closing it is probably the right step, but what concerns do you have?
Yeah, absolutely we agree that the men's detention center needs to be closed. We echo Public Justice Center's concerns about the women's detention center as well and the inhumane conditions that the women prisoners are living in. Our concern is this. We don't have a clear plan about what's going to happen with these individuals. We know that about 80% of those folks are pretrial, which means they need to have regular access to attorney visits. The surrounding buildings inside of Baltimore City that are DOC facilities don't have great visitation areas. They're very limited. We've had problems getting visits in the Jail Industries Building, MRDCC, Baltimore Pre-Release
Unit. MRDCC is the...
It traditionally had been a facility for individuals that had just recently been sentenced. They have a few pretrial folks there now, and it takes my attorneys about an hour to get in there to see a client. So it's a huge logjam. There's very limited visitation booths there, and a lot of people requesting it both for federal folks that are incarcerated as well as folks that have just recently been sentenced, and their attorneys are coming up to follow up with some other issues with the case. So that's one of our primary concerns. Where are these folks going? Are we going to have access to them? Is the access going to be within Baltimore so that it's reasonably efficient for my attorneys to get there? And what's their health care going to look like there? Because health care concerns are spread out all across the Department of Corrections.
Right, and I'd like to pursue that. I'd like us to hear, if we have it queued up, a comment that Secretary Steve Moyer, the Governor Hogan's Secretary of Public Safety and Corrections, made.
We're going to accomplish this closure quickly and without compromising detainees' access to their legal protections. A special phone line has been established and will be provided for family members with the new so that the new locations of the detainees formerly housed at this facility, they can be found and located.
Deborah Gardner, does that reassure you? Or Natalie Finnegar, does that reassure you?
It doesn't reassure me without a clear plan, and here's why. And you know, they may not know this, but over at the Jail Industries building, they recently shut down their visitation booths. And so our office was being forced to go up on a tier where inmates are folding laundry and have what is supposed to be a private conversation about an upcoming trial there. And there was only one spot, so you'd have to wait. So even if they open up the visitation area, there's only three or four booths there for a conversation. So putting 800 people into these local areas where the visitation is already in too high of demand and there's a long wait to get in there is just going to increase the problem. So there needs to be a clearer plan, and there needs to be some additional visitation facilities, and they need to be very mindful of the hours in addition to that that's available to attorneys.
I think all those concerns are legitimate, and I think they raise the questions that need to be answered, as well as, you know, visitation, where everyone is being located. And there's also the concern around the employees that we've been assured will not lose their positions. And so we need to know all of those questions need to be answered. And so we are, in fact, calling for a meeting with the governor and the secretary, and we will get some of those answers, I am sure.
That's State Senator Kathy Pugh, a Baltimore Democrat, here on Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Deborah Gardner, Legal Director of the Public Justice Center, and Natalie Finnegar, Deputy District Public Defender. We're talking about the closure of part of the Baltimore City Detention Center. Senator Pugh, Governor Hogan made it clear that he intentionally had not consulted with Mayor Rawlings-Blake or other city officials. This is what he said.
No, we wanted to make sure we could make this decision without it being interfered with by politics. We know it's the right decision. I think you're going to find universal agreement. We would never have been able to accomplish this had it been discussed in committee in public without taking the decisive action today.
If the governor is concerned that consultation is political, how hopeful are you that you'll get the information you need?
Let me assure the governor that every confrontation is not political. When you're concerned about the direction of your city, when you're concerned about the resources that are needed or not needed, it's about the people. While politics is a part of everything in terms of people voting people in and out of office, I think it's essential that there's communication across the board. And so I am confident that we can have that conversation in terms of how we move this issue forward. And I think the conditions of the city jail cannot be disputed. In fact, until I walked through there about a month ago, I was not totally aware. I've taught inside of the prison, but that was some number of years ago. But to walk through there, witness, and be a part of what I saw, and I've shared it with others, as I did with the secretary, begs for change. And it is a state-owned facility. This issue came up on the floor of the Senate by one of our senators, Senator Ho, and I said before anything should happen, we should have a discussion. It is the governor's right to be able to move issues like this forward, but I don't want him to have the impression that those kinds of discussions will lead to disruption as opposed to solutions.
Deborah Gardner,
we've got a number of years to work with this governor, and we want to do that.
Deborah Gardner,
we need him to understand we can have those conversations.
Deborah Gardner, it was just last month that your group, the Public Justice Center and the ACLU, filed another legal motion about the medical conditions, the health conditions there. Tell us about that, and what are your concerns about that?
Yes.
With this change,
the medical care, the provision of medical care, as well as the physical conditions throughout the facility, and we have a trial date in early December. So that,
and will that go forward?
Well, that remains to be seen. There certainly remain very serious issues regarding health care. The closure of the Men's Detention Center doesn't actually do anything to change the provision of health care in the facility. And it's possible that the transition could actually exacerbate those problems.
Because in what way?
Well, one of the major concerns we have is that even a routine transfer, for example, from central booking to the Men's Detention Center can mean, you know, just sort of the medical care for that inmate just falls through the cracks for days, weeks, even months. So if there's going to be a wholesale transfer of hundreds of inmates, we're very concerned about whether the concerns we already have about provision of health care will be exacerbated, and we certainly hope to have conversations about that. The pendency of the litigation gives the National Prison Project and the Public Justice Center an opportunity for conversation, consultation, dialogue, information gathering about how all this is going to go roll out, and an opportunity to share with the secretary and his staff our concerns about how to do this in a constitutional way.
We're out of time this morning. I'd really like to keep in touch with both of you as this unfolds. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, Senator Pugh.
Thank you.
State Senator Kathy Pugh, a Baltimore Democrat, co-chairs the General Assembly's Work Group on Public Safety. Deborah Gardner is legal director of the Public Justice Center, which has been working with the ACLU on legal challenges to conditions at the jail. And Natalie Vinegar is deputy district public defender. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org. Stay with us on 88.1.